Good morning. It is great to be here to see all of you and then to see all of my friends who come to support me today. And thank you so much. So before we start, I have a question for you. When was the last time you made a decision without calculating the cost? If we are honest, okay, when we do that, we call it impulsive, right? Every day we calculate everything. Students calculate their grades. What do I need to pass? Young adult calculate their future. Is this the right career, the right person? Families calculate their finances. Can we afford this? And even in our relationships, we quietly calculate. How much should I give? And what might this cost me? We live in a world that teaches us protect yourself, minimize loss, maximize return. But what if love doesn't work that way? What if redemption was never meant to be calculated? Today, as we step into the book of Ruth, chapter 4, we are going to see something powerful. Two men, one opportunity, and a decision that will change everything. Both are qualified. Both have a choice to make. But what they do next couldn't be more different. Before we step into chapter 4, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that I can share your words with Connection Church. Thank you for everything that you have given to us. And bless everyone who comes here, all who cannot be here, and also bless those who are serving right now. Please be with us. May your words guide us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we move into Ruth chapter 4, I would like to just like give some recap. So from the book chapter 1, the Ruth chapter 1, Naomi returns empty, grieving and questioning, but God is still at work, even in the silence. And then in chapter 2, we see that Ruth chooses faithfulness and God provides for her through Boaz. In chapter 3, Ruth asks Boaz to redeem her and he is willing. But there is a closer redeemer who must decide first. The guardian redeemer was a close relative who could step in and restore what a family had lost, the land, the legacy, and future. In simple terms, Ruth is asking Boaz, "Will you redeem us? Will you marry me?" Now, honestly, Boaz probably didn't expect that. He just finished a long day and wanted to sleep, not receive a marriage proposal in the middle of the night. Imagine that today, when you go out on your first date with your match.com guy, you know, and before the appetizers arrive, "So will you marry me?" Most people would disappear. "I have to go to the bathroom." But Boaz does not. He responds with generosity. He provides for Ruth and Naomi. Here's the grain, okay? Bring home. And he makes a promise. "I will settle this matter." Boaz doesn't avoid the situation like a lot of the avoidance guy, okay? He steps in. And now the story moves from private to public. From quiet moment in the night to a decision in the light of day. Let us read Ruth chapter 4, 1 to 4. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there, just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of the seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. When Boaz presents the opportunity, the man does not hesitate. "I will redeem it." Why? Because at first it looks like a gain. More land, more security, more benefit. But what this means is very different depending on who you are. For Naomi, this is everything, her family's legacy, her last hope. But for the man, it doesn't feel like sacrifice. It feels like an opportunity. So his yes comes quickly because the cost hasn't been revealed yet. It is easy to say yes when it benefits you, but obedience is tested when it costs you. Stop counting the cost before you obey. Sometimes we are just like him, this redeemer. Quick to say yes when it adds to our life, and just as quick to step back when it costs us. Because instead of asking, "Is this God's will?" we ask, "Is this worth it?" If we are honest, we choose what is easier over what is right. We choose what benefits us over what honors God. And this is where the story confronts us. Boaz is about to show us what it looks like to stop counting the cost before you obey. In verse 5 to verse 6, "Then Boaz said, 'On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property.' At this, the guardian redeemer said, 'Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it.' At first, the man says, 'I will redeem it.' It looks like a gain, but he hasn't seen the cost yet. Then Boaz adds one detail. This is not just the land. This is Ruth. This is Naomi. A future, a responsibility. And suddenly, everything changes. I cannot redeem it. It might cost me too much. My wife will be mad. Okay? And just like that, his yes becomes a no. That's just not his story. That's our story. Stop counting the cost before you obey. We do the same thing. We say yes to God until it costs us comfort, until it costs us something. That's when our yes becomes a no. Because instead of asking God, "Is this God's will?" we ask, "Is this worth it?" And that's the moment that reveals our hearts. But here's the question. Will your yes remain a yes when it starts to cost you something? One man steps back But Boaz steps forward. Stop counting the cost before you obey. In verse 7 to 10, now in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transaction in Israel. Good thing, whenever I have closing, you know, we don't need to bring sandal. We just need to go to the title company and sign, right? Otherwise, how many sandals should I bring, you know? So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself, and he removed his sandal. Give you my sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses, and I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses. Boaz is decisive, but in a different way. Can you believe a man who can make decision less than 24 hours? I cannot believe it. He steps forward with clarity and purpose. He brings everything into the open. And if we are honest, from a worldly perspective, this looks like a bad deal. You know, we almost closed a deal a couple of days ago, and all of a sudden, the other realtor said that, oh, we are going to, you know, back out. From what? HOA resolution? What happened to the HOA? You have to pay for the trash? You know, and then just like, we are back out. Just give back our money. I'm just like, seriously? We have to start all over again? Boaz, you know, I don't think he's good at math. He takes the land, he has to marry Ruth, he carries the responsibility, he pays the cost, and he has to raise another person, I mean his own kid in the future, but with the different last name. You know? He pays the cost. But Boaz isn't asking, what do I gain? He sees the cost and steps in anyway. Stop counting the cost. Instead, love without calculating the cost. He asked a different question. What is right? What is right? And that's what love looks like. Not calculating, not negotiating, not holding back. Love without counting the cost. And we still see glimpses of this kind of love. On 9/11, the firefighters ran in while others ran out. In the Notebook movie, one of my favorites movie, I don't usually watch movie two times, okay? Just one time, but at least this one I watched two times. Noah stays, even when Ellie forgets him. And even in real life, people who stay, serve, and love for years with no return. But here's the truth, we don't naturally live this way. We don't need better calculation, we need new hearts. I feel like every time, you know, we do baptism, it's just like the heart surgery. We just don't dunk someone in the water, we just like change the heart, you know, operate the heart. It is what it means to be a Christian. We need new hearts. Stop counting the cost, love without calculating the cost. And then that's what God does. He doesn't just tell us what to do. He changes us. And we see that in Boaz. Because both guys, they understand the law. And then what happened to the other guy? He backed out. But Boaz, his heart has already been transformed. That's why he loved this way. And through him, God brings redemption to Naomi. Her emptiness is filled, her story is rewritten. But here is the beauty. God does not just change Naomi's story. He changes Boaz's heart. Because God's redemption doesn't just fix situation, it transforms people. And the question is, will we embrace it? Verse 13 to 17. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Naomi, who was once said, "I am empty," is now holding fullness in her arms. Her story has been rewritten. This is what happens when God steps in. Stop counting the cost. Embrace the redemption that transforms. And here is the beauty. God doesn't just change your situation. He changes your heart. He took Naomi from emptiness to fullness, from loss to restoration. And the question is, has God rewritten our hearts? Because this is not just Naomi's story. This is not just Ruth's story. This is not just Boaz's story. This is an invitation. An invitation for us to stop calculating, to stop holding back, and to let God change us from the inside out. Because when God rewrites our heart, you stop asking, "What do I get?" And you start asking, "What does God want?" You begin to care about what is right. And even when it costs you something, you begin to give instead of always protecting yourself. God doesn't just change your situation. He changes your heart. That's what transformation looks like. Not perfection, but a changed direction. And in verse 18 to 22, it's just a bunch of names, okay? Then this is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David. And this is where the story gets even bigger. The family line from Perez to David shows us this was never just the story. It reminds us that this story was never meant just about Ruth, Boaz, and Naomi. Boaz became the guardian redeemer for Ruth and Naomi. He changed their future, but God was doing something even greater. Stop counting the cost. Look to the greater Redeemer. Through these ordinary people, faithful in their own moments, God was fulfilling his promise to bring us the greater Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Boaz, he stepped into the gate, the city gate, but Jesus stepped down from heaven. Boaz redeemed a family, but Jesus redeemed us. Boaz preserved a name, but Jesus gave us a new identity as his children. And Boaz acted out of righteousness, but Jesus acted out of perfect love. From the world's perspective, the cross looks like the worst deal ever made. Okay? There is no concession. Okay, there is no bargain from the cross. Loss, suffering, and sacrifice. But that's how redemption works. Because Jesus didn't ask, "What do I gain, Father?" Okay? He saw the cost and he paid it anyway. Stop counting the cost. Look to the greater Redeemer. And because of him, we are no longer defined by our past. We are no longer stuck in emptiness. We are no longer without hope. So what do we do with this? We stop counting the cost. Because the one who redeemed you has already paid it all. It only looks costly until you realize what he has already given. This is not just another message telling you to try harder or love better, okay? This is a reminder of what Jesus Christ has already done for you. He didn't count the cost. He gave everything on the cross so that you could be redeemed, restored, and made new. Because of him, you don't have to keep proving yourself, protecting yourself, or calculating your worth. You are already loved, already redeemed. And when that truth sinks in, it changes how you live. You are free to love without fear, free to give without holding back, free to choose what is right, even when it costs you. Because the greatest cost has already been paid. The world says, protect yourself, calculate everything. Back out during HOA resolution. But the gospel says, give yourself. Stop counting the cost. Love without calculating the cost. Start living redeemed because Jesus has already given everything for you. Amen.